Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on February 11th, 2014, at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. This edition of Tell Us Something features 11 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, What Are You Waiting For? This week's story comes to us from Ray Reshow and is titled, You've Got 10 Minutes. Thank you for listening.
I decided that tonight I would talk about my last few weeks in the U.S. Army, which took place at Fort Huachuca in Arizona in 1964. I want to back up another year and talk about what will qualify what happened in 1964 in the last 2 weeks. I was drafted into the U.S. Army, and I always had a problem with authority, so I was not your ideal soldier. When I was in Korea, I was stationed. I was assigned to the 1st Cavalry Division, which was up near the 38th parallel, which was what we refer to as the DMZ, and we were always. Whenever we left on duty, we were always armed, because in 1953 there was an armistice with North Korea, and there wasn't never any peace treaty. There was a Fulbright colonel who was head of our division, and by the way, the 1st Cav Division, right after I left Korea, shortly thereafter, they fought the first ground battle at Yadrang in Vietnam with the North Viet. It was the first battle with North Vietnamese regulars, and so this division was quite well known in military circles. But this colonel was feared by everyone in the division, I resented it so much to see grown men. Some of these gentlemen, these non-coms, had served in two wars. They were veterans from the Second World War and the Korean War, and they were shaking when this colonel confronted them. And one moment in my service there, we were on maneuvers. And it was called Winter Snap 2. It was the middle of winter in South Korea. It's about 30 kilometers north of Seoul. And I had to serve guard duty, and it was really cold. But the sun was out, and I was walking with my M14, which was a disgusting weapon, because it's a good thing they didn't have them in Vietnam, because they constantly jammed. They were really worthless. And so I decided that I would just sit down, and I was sitting on the bank of this little creek with the M14 spread over my knees, and I was reading Plato's Symposium, which was called it's about the art of love. And all of a sudden I hear this click, and I turned and looked, and there was this colonel, the commander of our division, pointing a .45 at me. And he was so upset. He said, "Don't you realize the gravity of what you're responsible for?" And I stood there, and I think I saluted him, but I was not afraid of this gentleman. At one point he realized that I was not afraid. And so he looked down and he said, "What are you reading?" And I showed him the book, and then I could see this little crack of a smile on his face, and I said, "I've got nothing to fear from this man." And he basically reprimanded me and told me that I should, you know, serve, you know, I mean, serve my post, you know, with responsibility. And so this is what it was like for me in the military. It was like this all the time. So the last 2 weeks, I'm stationed in Fort Huachuca, Arizona, which was an intelligence base. And at one point, I'm taking a course in Russian. And the teacher wants to know why all of us are in the class and why we want to take the class. And so everyone explains why they wanted to take the class. And at one point she says, "But I know I'm glad that you're in this class, but if you really want to know, the language with the future is Arabic." And this was in 1964. And so at that point I proceeded, this was kind of at the end of my tour as a draftee, I decided I would go through all the battery of tests. The Army Language School in Monterey was the only school in the Army at that time that you had to apply to as though you were applying to college. And so I took the test, and I passed it superlatively. And then I took numerous other exams and tests. And then I had to qualify. I had to get a top-secret clearance in order to go to this language school. And my first pick was Arabic, and my second pick was Chinese, and I forget what my third one was, but these were all 57-week courses. Then, all the guys in my barracks, who were all draftees like myself, realized what I was about to do, because I was going to have to re-enlist. Re-up, they would say. And they relentlessly hammered away at me. Hammered and hammered and hammered. Until finally, it came time for me to sign off, and the aide to the commanding officer of the company called me and he said, "All your paperwork is done." It must have been about 4 inches of paperwork. And he said, "It's all done, and we're ready to let you sign off, and you'll reenlist, and this you'll be good to go." And I looked at him and I said, "I've changed my mind." At that point, something happened. Something snapped in me, and my the non-com who was in charge of our particular barracks kind of knew something was going on, and he relentlessly attacked me. I mean, imagine, here we are at Reveille, standing in formation. There's probably, you know, maybe 60 or 80 of us. And he would say, "Okay, everybody's dismissed, except Risho." It was like that every single day. And he basically made my life miserable. So finally, I realized that this was not going to work. And at one point when he did this to me, I basically told him off. And I said to myself right after I did it, I said, "This is what they really wanted." And so at one point, they called me into the company commander's office. And there they all were, all the non-coms, all the commissioned officers. They were all there in this room. And I said, "This is it. They're all going to gang up on me." And I wasn't afraid at all. For some reason, I didn't care anymore. And at one point they said, "You're not worth the effort. We're not going to court-martial you for what you did." And they kicked me out of the office. And so at that point, my separation was about to take place. And the day of my separation, I went into the company commander's office. And I stood there at attention, and he just reamed me for about 20 minutes. And then he looked up and he said, "Risho, I'm going to give you 10 minutes to get off this base." I went back to my barracks, and there were my friends waiting for me to take me to Tucson to get me drunk. And they wanted to know what happened. What happened? What happened? And I told them what happened, and they said, "Well, what did he say?" And I said, "The captain told me that I had 10 minutes to get off the base." And one of my good friends, his name was Cleland, Nobody called him that but me, because that was his middle name. And he was from Las Vegas, and he had this beautiful smile. And you could see his white teeth, and he smiled, and he said, "Hey, man, what are you waiting for?" Thank you. Bon appetit.
Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Thanks to the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, performance art, and film. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. RockandRudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavalny of Missoula Soundworks. MissoulaSoundworks.com. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcast, and especially to the storytellers Jeff Peepos, Gabby Grant, Joe Stone, Pat Williams, Jack Rowan, Chris Latray, Acton Douglas, Georges DiGiorgio, Ray Richaud, Luke Morgan Algeier, and Joshua Slotnick. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for August 19th at the Top Hat. The theme, Busted. We'll see you then.